Well, hello and welcome. It's good to be with you. And I hope that you're having a good day today. I hope that you've already heard from the Lord. I hope that you hear from our hearing from Him together as we meet like this. And so since we've come together for the purpose of being with our Lord and hearing from Him, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you for the day that you have given to us. Lord, all that you have already enabled us to do. Father, for your sufficiency for the rest of the day. Father, for your love for us, your desire for us to know you, for you bringing us to this time, Lord, and place. Father, wherever we may be when we're watching or enjoying this, Lord, that you brought us here, Lord, to meet with you. Father, I pray that you open our minds and our hearts. Lord, that we will hear from you, that we will grow in your grace. Father, be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I do hope that you have been having a good day. I'm sure all of us are focused on our responsibilities and our to-do list and all we need to get done today and through the rest of this week. We actually film these on Monday afternoon so that I can give them to Jonathan on Tuesday so he can upload them and have them ready for you on Wednesday. So it's always a Monday when I'm filming this for our time of being together. And I'm sure, you know, just like you, there's always that to-do list and things that we hope to accomplish, things that we feel like we've got to get done, deadlines we have to meet. And yet what's often neglected or what often falls through the cracks is what our highest, most important priority and goal needs to be. And that is to glorify God. You may recall that Paul was inspired to write in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, and he's talking there in the context about meat that's offered unto idols. And he comes to the point here in verse 31 where he says, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Our whole life is to give glory and honor and praise unto the Lord. And so as we think about our day, we need to be thinking about glorifying Him. As we live our lives, they need to be lived to His glory, His honor, His praise. You know, the old Westminster Catechism said that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And I'm reminded of that as we come now to the 30th Psalm, where it says, a song at the dedication of the house, a psalm of David. Now, possibly the historical background of this is found in 1 Chronicles 21 and 22, where you recall that David, out of pride, in fact, as we even see that hinted of in this psalm, decided to have a census for the nation of Israel. And apparently it seems to be an element of pride there or self-sufficiency. God judges he and Israel for that sin. And the judgment comes to a head, or David's able to stop it there at the threshing floor of Ornan. And it's there that David buys that place. And it's ultimately where the temple would be built. And so this is probably the dedication of that site. Seems to be the most likely historical context for this psalm. And you might think, well, what on earth has that got to do with me and the way in which I live my life today? Well, think about the connection. When you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 2 Corinthians chapter 6, all of them refer to us, the believer, that is those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, I hope that you do soon. But for all of us who know Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit's come to live within us, and we are now actually the temple of God. We are temples of God, and the Holy Spirit lives within us. And so if the whole purpose of this temple that would be built at this point was to give honor, praise, and glory unto God, then that's the purpose for our life and our living as well, just as we saw in 1 Corinthians. And so as we look at this, we see some basic reasons why we ought to focus on giving praise and honor to glory unto God. And so think with me as we look at this psalm, as we think about our life, and as we think about reasons to praise God in a very real, heartfelt way and give and live in a way that glorifies Him, you think about, number one, His deliverances. Look at verses 1 through 3. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol. You've kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit. David there talks about several things that the Lord delivered him from. Adversity, enemies. Obviously, the context there of healing, and you get the impression there that that is a sickness that was due to sin. And again, we wonder if it wasn't the sin of pride which set about that whole aspect of numbering the people. In fact, it's down in verse 6, David says, "Now as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved." That apparently hints at that pride that led David to take a census of the nation of Israel. You know, look how big we are. Look how many of us we are. Because of how many of us there are, we are now strong and secure in and of ourselves. Pride. And yet, once God dealt with David about that, God, in fact, delivered him. And so what David is saying is, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to glorify God for all the ways and the times that he has, in fact, delivered me. Believer, think about all the ways God has delivered you. First of all, obviously, salvation. I've always loved the way that John Snyder in Behold Your God referred to salvation as the great rescue. You think about that ultimate deliverance of God. You think about the deliverance when we confess our sins in our ongoing walk and receive his forgiveness and his cleansing. You think about the deliverances, and just take a moment, that God has given to you from adversities that you've had. Evil, wicked people, sickness, consequences of sin. How much we have to praise God for. You know, we really stop and think about those things, and we need to periodically. It's amazing how it changes our perspective about the day. Whatever it is was going wrong, it's amazing how it changes when we begin to think about all the ways that God has already delivered us. But not only do we have God's deliverances, we also have his purposes. Look with me, if you will, there at verses 4 and 5. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Now I'm sure all of us have heard the latter part there of verse 5 about weeping may last for a night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. But you know, the context makes it even better. Again, you think about verse 5, his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Obviously, again, talking about some time when David sinned, and apparently it seems to be in the census, the numbering of the people. But you think about it. Of all the circumstances that would adversely affect our relationship with God, being in his discipline would probably be the worst. I mean, that'd probably be about the worst situation that you can think of being. But even there, even when he disciplines, God's purpose is good. And you think about what that tells us. Well, if God's purpose for us is good, even when he disciplines us, what should that tell us about every situation? No wonder Paul was inspired to write in Romans 8:28 that we know God causes all things, even discipline, all things to work together for the good of those that love God, to those called according to his purpose. You know, we can praise God even in the midst of the adversity and the difficulty because we know he has a good plan that he's in fact working out. We have his wonderful plan. We have his deliverances. We have his purposes. But notice as well, we have his reliability. Look at verse 6. Again, now as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. Possibly the census, again, that seems to be the historical context, that time when out of pride, self-sufficiency, David numbered the people. God dealt with David and dealt with the nation of Israel, verses 8 and 9. To you, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? And you look at the difference it made. Experiencing God's wonderful forgiveness and cleansing, the reliability of God, verse 7. O Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain to stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. You think about it. We have a God who is completely and totally reliable in every situation, no matter how deep, no matter how complex, even when it's self-inflicted. I'm not denying that there aren't consequences to sin. I'm not, certainly not taking away from chastening. That's the whole background here. But what a reason to trust God. He is completely reliable. Anything God says, we can take it to the bank. Even as you and I have this time together, and you, wherever you are, as you watch or even listen to this while you do something else, right now, in your present situation, in your life, in our world, in these times, God is moving. And we can praise Him because He's reliable. Well, look why else we can praise Him and glorify Him in our life. His joy. And that is the joy that He brings into our life. Not because there's a lack of problems, but in fact through them. Look at verses 10 through 12. Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You've turned from me my mourning into dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. You think about that. I'm reminded of Psalm 23 where David said, my cup overflows. I think about Paul in Philippians, in spite of it being a prison epistle, in spite of obviously going through adversity and difficulty, there was real joy there. Not like happiness that the world talks about, because happiness is like a child at an amusement park. As long as the ride is going, the child is fine, but when the ride stops, there's a letdown. Joy is that continual sense of well-being within our heart that only the Lord can in fact bring. And even in the midst of adversities, God gives joy. You know, even in the midst of the enemies, God prepares a table for us, as He describes in Psalm 23. And our cup overflows, and He anoints our head with oil. The joy He gives. Believer, you probably have experienced it sometime in your life where even in the midst of a very difficult time, there was a peace, there was a calmness, there was a joy in Him. Maybe not the circumstances per se, but His control of those circumstances. How different from the world, and how much the world needs to see that. The reality of a God working in a human heart and life. My friend, we can glorify Him. We can praise Him and honor Him. You think of all that God has done, is doing, and will do. We are so blessed to be His. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day. Lord, for Your love for us. And O Lord God, the fact that You are trustworthy, reliable, You're good, You give Your joy. Father, thank You. Lord, as we live through this day, may we live it to Your glory. Father, may we take advantage of every opportunity that You open up for us to praise You, Lord, and to sincerely give thanks and point to You. Father, thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope this time is a blessing for you and that these times together are a blessing to help you in your walk. And I hope as you go through today that you experience the Lord's love and care and guidance. And I hope that you have a great day in Him.